Today we're continuing in our series, The Great Entrepreneurial Revolution. It's interesting how we tend to settle into ruts of thinking and attitudes. I think especially in terms of this word, entrepreneur. You have no idea how many persons have helpfully advised us that we misspelled the word. Such as the advertising copywriter at the New York Times, who, to save us further embarrassment, simply changed the word EN in the ad. Most of us know what the word entrepreneur means. It's a word that's used a great deal today. A person who has decided to take charge of his own life financially and who's launched out into a new business or a new career, investing time and money and energy into a new venture in faith. We're dealing with the word entrepreneur, which contrasting a person who's going out into the world to make a way for himself, dealing with the thought of a person going into himself, making changes in his attitudes, his ideals, his priorities, taking charge of his own mind, his own thoughts. This may lead to entrepreneurship too. Basically, we're thinking in terms of the entrepreneur as one who stays on his job, but changes his attitude. He learns to change his work without changing his job. We're living in an exciting and puzzling age. The world economy is beset with wild and seemingly uncontrollable fluctuations. And as Emerson once observed, things are in the saddle and ride mankind. There's the constant challenge of change. Now, change is certainly not a 20th century phenomenon. To repeat a quip that we closed with last week, in the Garden of Eden, Adam probably turned to Eve and said, "My dear, we're living in a period of rapid and accelerating change." Certainly, dealing with change is one of the great problems of human consciousness. Today we want to look probingly at this matter of change and see how it affects our attitudes toward our job, our ability to alter our occupation without changing our job. The philosopher Heraclitus based his entire system on the idea that all is flux, nothing endures but change. And yet there's that of each of us that often becomes panic-stricken at the very thought of change, as if the world were coming to an end. And in the tendency of building a life that is change impervious, oh, how we lock ourselves into ruts, routines, and rituals. We may complain about them, but we still hold tight to them. Misreading the meaning of life, thinking of the goal of life as ease and security, possibly the nest egg retirement in a Florida condominium, how many persons worship material success, the easy road, the soft job, peace of mind, and the demonstration of these at the end of every prayer treatment? In the industrial era, which we can almost refer to in the past tense, one would learn a trade or a profession and expect to practice it in roughly the same way for the rest of his life. We were influenced by ads that said, "Learn a trade and secure your future." The choice was between different roads to travel. Once we made the choice, there was a road all laid out before us. Building houses, operating a drill press, or teaching school. We continued on through all of our lives. There was a hesitancy to take the road less traveled because there was no assurance of the health benefits, the retirement funds, and the lifelong job security. We might get bored with the routines of the job. But life would be kind of predictable, as would be the rewards and the increasing competence, maybe the coveted gold watch at the end of the road. Have you ever contemplated the fact that your work is most likely a job that did not exist in its present form a decade ago? But at least it's important from this point to realize that few persons can any longer learn a set of skills and expect to stick with them for very long. Even trades like printing and electronics shift so drastically that a skilled craftsperson must continually learn new ways. Job loss in what is called the smokestack industries is unfortunately a classic example of the challenge of change in our times. Sadly, thousands of men and women who've worked all their employment life in one job, developing and perfecting a single skill, are suddenly laid off and face the prospect that the job will never return. Too young and financially insecure to retire, and facing a societal attitude that they're too old to get another job, if they're fortunate to have other skills, which they rarely do. Thus, they're faced with the choice, the Hobson's choice, of going back to school or of going on welfare. And that's a very hard thing to know. How can one plan for this kind of uncertain future? And even if you can foresee a secure road ahead of you, how can you advise or lead young people entering the job and career market that seems so volatile and uncertain? One answer is to become an entrepreneur. Make a commitment to take charge of your own life. You can't always control what happens to you or the attitudes and environment that surrounds you, but you can control what happens within you, your reaction, your moods, your expectations. And because life is consciousness, you can alter your work without changing your job. And more, you can maintain a calm assurance of security even in the face of a job layoff. The entrepreneur carefully avoids the trap of looking to his employer for his security. He always knows that his security is within himself. In other words, you must build an unshakable conviction and consciousness that your true business is the express business, the business of expressing or outforming the creative flow within you. And, corny as it may sound to some persons, that you're working first and foremost for God, with gratitude to your employer, your company, as a channel through which opportunity for work and for compensation may flow. Old notions of job security and company loyalty are shifting. While many entrepreneurs are launching out on their own, taking charge of their own careers, investing their time, talents, and energy in a great adventure of faith, many others who we're calling entrepreneurs are remaining with their employers in the same job, but changing their goals, their values, their priorities, thus developing a new kind of independence and achieving a vital form of self-fulfillment in the pursuit of excellence. Many talented and dedicated workers have risen to a level that appears to them to be as high as they can go in their company. The outer-directed careerist works for prestige of the fancy title, the office with a name on the door, the raises in salary, the promotions added responsibilities. But in the company, there are just so many top jobs to go around. Not everyone can be the top of the heap. This is the point which much burnout has experienced, as we talked last week, either in the insecurity and fear in launching out to the road less traveled, or in facing the demoralization and the wheel spinning and continuing in the same set of ruts, rituals, and routines, continuing in the same job. Entrepreneurship is a positive alternative. It calls, first of all, for the change from outer-directed to inner-directed values. In innovative and enterprising ways, you can discover new ways to make your job offer more creative challenges. As you develop a greater sense of worthship and apply a vital worth ethic, your security is less entangled with the whim of your employer. Your success and prosperity are firmly tied to the limitless creative flow within you. And by the principle of seek ye first the kingdom, and all these things will be added unto you, you'll become a more vital and valued asset to your company, too. So in the future, entrepreneurs will be the heart and center of any company. You see, in the changing world of today's economy and industry, change is not just an option for you. It's the only choice. The work of the future, especially in advanced professional levels, is likely to require a great deal of flexibility. Not just one set of skills acquired early and essentially good for life, but rather evolving a body of knowledge and new opportunities calling for greatly modified skills. There will be a need for a more skillful and adaptive workforce than ever before. Lifelong learning is no longer a desirable luxury. It is a vital economic necessity. A recent estimate by an executive at General Motors is that GM employees need complete retraining every 4 years. Some people resist that. They say, well, this is my work and I know this work. Why do they keep making me do new things? What you learned in school is right now becoming obsolete. What you learned in an apprenticeship on a job or a career is already partly passé. We must be willing to completely let go of the old idea that we went through our training and we were trained for life. It may be that both you and your job are changing, and changes can be completely unexpected. Now, while change is natural, it is rarely welcome. Resistance is, in human consciousness, a natural and predictable thing. Letting go of old ways, or letting go of the old job, is a kind of death experience. And there may be a kind of grief and mourning, as well as anger, despair, and self-pity. So the entrepreneur carefully builds into his consciousness the realization, I do not resist change, but I adapt myself to the law of all things work together for good. I do not resist change, but I adapt myself to the law of all things work together for good. One who is established in this positive response to change will easily adjust it to an unexpected turn of events. The lateral moves within a company, or even the sudden dismissal from a company. The disciplined entrepreneur will welcome such changes. But the outer-directed worker will meet them with everything from apprehension and fear to anger and even the call for legal redress. 20 years ago, futurist Alvin Toffler predicted futuristically that we live in an age of rapid and accelerating change. Change has been increasing in intensity in the last 50 years, especially in America, where the experience of future shock has been drastic. He says, change is avalanching upon our heads, and most persons are grotesquely and unprepared to cope with it. People who develop the skills to manage in the face of drastic, even continual transition, will be the most successful. If you're interested in gaining any kind of stability in your life, you cannot afford to ignore these skills. It is the entrepreneur who will be best prepared. He will have complete control of his own life and the most secure feeling about his work life. The range of options open to him in the face of career obstacles include getting a new sense of the creative flow within his present job. In other words, changing his work without changing his job, or securely launching out into a new job or career elsewhere. Did you know that on the average, Americans change jobs every 4 years? We may have thought this is a sort of instability on the part of people, an insecurity in consciousness. This is a part of the evolving economic position in the world. Some persons face this change resistantly after a job layoff, and some change it intrapreneurially, confidently launching out on the road less traveled. Actually, it's long been my conviction, I've made the statement often, that a job change for any person is a helpful and helpful challenge. Matter of fact, we might go so far as to say, it could be good for every person to make a change every 10 years. Of course, the change may come within our present job by changing our attitudes, our perspective. But we need change. Otherwise, we can become lethargic, complacent, and self-satisfied. We talked last week about burnout. The cause of most burnout is not conditions that have fallen apart around you, but the cause is from a sense of frustration and lethargy of being in a situation without the courage to make a change. We need the challenge of change to keep us youthful and vitally productive. It's quite possible that some persons wait too long to make job changes. Of course, there are risks in leaving too soon, as well as staying too long. One way to think about whether you've been in one place too long is to ask yourself the question, If I had 10 years' experience in this job, or 1 year's experience 10 times over? That's a painful question to ask, honestly. Because so often we like to say, but I've been on this job 10 years. How could they dare do this to me? Do you have 10 years' experience or 1 year's experience 10 times over? And if it's your good fortune to find yourself at the top of a career ladder, maybe it's time to find a new ladder. You may be at the peak of opportunities for growth in a given job, but you're never at the peak of your potential as a channel through which the creative flow seeks to manifest through you. There's always more in you. Sometimes we need the challenge. We're blessed if we're forced to take the challenge to make a change. In human consciousness, we have many excuses. I would like to do this or that. I would like to get into that field. I'd like to change my job in this way. But, one, I'm too old. Two, I don't want to lose my retirement benefits. Three, I have to think of my family and not make them hostage to my impossible dreams. Etc., etc., ad nauseum. Here's the classic story of the person who was consulting with a career counselor. He was not fulfilled in his work. He was looking for guidance as to what steps he could take. The counselor asked him to think a little bit. See if he could think of anything that he'd always dreamed of doing. Very quickly, the man came back. Yes, I've always regretted that I didn't go to med school and become a doctor. Then the counselor asked, why didn't you go back to school? You're single with no responsibilities. Take the adventure. Launch out. The man demurred. With medical school and hospital internship, it would take me 7 years. Then I would be too old. And the counselor asked, how old will you be in 7 years if you don't go back to school? I'm not encouraging you to quit your job. Your employers might be angry at me if they thought I was preaching this on Sunday. I'm not advising you to launch out in a new direction in the world. Rather, to be transformed by the renewing of your mind, as Paul says. Make sure that you go through a process of change in consciousness to gain a new perspective, a new set of values, to be free from the frustrations of fear and insecurity. It's almost that if you can find the faith and the courage to make a change, and you probably have enough security and enough growth in yourself that you won't need to make the change. Ask yourself, do you have the courage to drop what you're doing, to go in a new direction? It's so important that we understand this about ourselves, that if we're unwilling to even consider such things, we find cold sweat of fear creeping up our back, and perhaps there's something wrong. A positive attitude about change can be vital in all aspects of living. A little self-analysis revealed that the trauma that comes from the intrusion of negative occurrences is chiefly our resistance to change and the attempt to unhappen that which in fact has happened. You might as well face up to it. The experience is there to be met. There's no gain in hiding your head in the sand. Determine that you'll meet it, but on your terms. Don't let the happening squeeze you into its box, but open your mind to the flow of wisdom, love, and good judgment by which you can deal masterfully with it, even if it calls for more strength or ability than you've ever had. All right, dig a little deeper and do it. And then experience the joy of discovering that you have grown through it, indicating possibly why it came to you in the first place. A common word in education is dropout, referring to the student who rebels against the system. But adults drop out too, through their resistance to life's changes and disciplines. Burnout in one's job is a kind of psychological dropout. You may not always be too happy with the idea that a challenge is a good place in which to do the growing you need to become the kind of person you really want to become. But you see, you can't have your cake and eat it too. You can't run from school and still get an education. You can't run away from life's problems at work or at home and from the challenge of change, at the same time find happiness. We're only happy when we're growing, and we can only grow when we can become comfortable with the idea of change and determined to grow through it, whatever it may be. This doesn't mean that you must have heartaches and burdens and job crises. But it does mean that when you're confronted by difficulties, you should admit to yourself that they evidence the fact that you have some growing to do. Otherwise, you'll just be blaming others. It's because of what they say, because the company does this, and they're unthinking, they're cold, they're cruel. If the change comes to you, you must admit that it's because you have some growing to do. Instead of complaining in self-pity, why do I have to go through this? So much more positive to ask, how can I grow through this? And that's the way of the entrepreneur. Thoreau once said that most persons lead lives of quiet desperation. The chief reason is fear of change and the perpetual effort to insulate themselves by ruts and routines from any possibility of disruption of the status quo. Sometimes there's a great need, possibly a desperate need, to break out of resistance to change and to sprinkle one's life with refreshing variety and diversity, with adventure-impelled achievements. The entrepreneur is a fully functioning person who welcomes change and is stimulated by it. The outer-directed person is threatened even with a vague possibility of change. But entrepreneurship calls for a willingness to become an adventurer, to meet new people, to accept new assignments that call for learning new things, to explore the unknown, to be excited and intrigued by less familiar places. He's the one who looks out into the world. He rejoices in all the evidences of new horizons that are coming to us as a race. He looks out to his work. He rejoices in the possibility that change lies ahead. Perhaps as small as changing from an electric typewriter to a word processor, or changing from some sort of routine mechanical process to something that is done entirely by robotics. But change is inevitable. It's everywhere. We need to grow with it. A good exercise for the entrepreneur is to challenge yourself to do things that you've never done before. Things as basic as walking on a different side of the street, or taking a different train, or getting up at a different hour. Making changes in your life, facing yourself with the challenge of change. Have the courage to alter some of the routines of life. At least question why they have to be done in certain ways. Be alert to challenge the tendency that is pointed to when we say, oh, I always do that. I always say so-and-so. Stop defending things as they've always been, including yourself. So often we tend to say, that's just the way I am. It's not the way you are. It's the way you've been frustrating your potential. You've got yourself to get hung up on a fixed attitude about yourself. It's not the way you are. It's interesting how growth is so often equated with a negative process. We may say of a coworker, he was such a refreshingly idealistic and hardworking kid when he started to work, but he's matured. He's become more realistic. What we're saying is that the inertial forces in the office have tended to frustrate his pursuit of excellence. It all began, quite probably, when he made some recommendation to the boss to do something different that would be more creative and more beneficial to the company. And a veteran of the staff came to him, put his arms around him, and said, you have to understand how we do things around here. And possibly creativity and originality died right there. Because the way we do things around here is the way we've always done them. Because we've always done them that way. Not because they can't be improved. As I say frequently, you don't grow old. When you stop growing, you are old. You're always as young as your faith and your vision, and as old as your fears and your worries. Quite often, age is best expressed, or articulated, or observed in a person's attitude toward his work. Don't grow old. Go onward. The thing that makes life meaningful is that there's always something more in us, something deeper, something richer, something finer, an imprisoned splendor within. No matter how we may falter or seem to fail, the growth process is a divine will. We're made for growth, for excellence. We will grow onward because it's our nature in every situation unless we frustrate the process. Many of us work so hard at frustrating the process of growth because it's much more security in holding on to the way things have always been. It's not wise to endlessly go on, endlessly trying to derive pleasure from something that you've done that was effective. It has come to pass. This is a thesis which I've expounded in great detail in my book, In the Flow of Life. That every experience in life doesn't come to stay, no matter how good it is, no matter how rich it is, no matter how prospering it is, it comes to pass. Unhappy experiences and happy ones too. Nothing in life comes to stay. Everything comes to pass. So when you accomplish some fine thing or achieve some victory or goal, it's not wise to dwell long on the success, to go on endlessly trying to derive pleasure from it. It has come to pass. The achievement is a growth experience. You've taken another step in the releasement of your imprisoned splendor. But life and the need to grow continues on. No matter that after one performance, you may have the world at your feet. This too shall pass. Tomorrow's another day. It brings new opportunities and new demands. You can build on past successes, but you can't rest on them. It's important to know that you're in the flow of life and have the guidance to live it fully and well. Every day in your office or shop or in your beat of life, whether it be a patrolman walking a beat or a salesman knocking door to door, life comes to pass for all persons. Each day is a continued experience of growth. It may have been a miserable day, with sales down, with unbearable demands on your time, with conflicts with your co-workers, but it has come to pass. This day has provided you with a challenge to reach for a higher level of consciousness. But the sun eventually sets and brings on the release and the quiet peace of night. And tomorrow's another day. Even if it were the best day you've ever had, give thanks for it. Look forward to continued opportunities for growth. You can't hold on to this day any more than you can stop the sun from moving across the sky. You have to begin all over again, every day. You may pause at the close of the day, on New Year's Eve, at graduation time, at the time of retirement, and look back on all you've done, all you've accomplished. Accept what you see as the facts of your experience, but they're not final. As the little boy once said, "I'm not done yet." You still have within you a great potential for growth, and it must come to pass. The world may be all too quick to label you and type you. A report card or a financial statement or a job resume may seem to say, "This is what you are." There'll be those who may want to measure you by grades or merit badges or achievement certificates. But these things say nothing of what you really are, any more than grades in school reveal what you are. They may well indicate where you are in consciousness at that moment, but you're only part of the way along on the path of your eternal unfoldment. Again, Adam had a word for it. We're living in a period of rapid and accelerating change. In the final analysis, it's only the intangible activity we call God the Good that remains unchanged in and through all things. All else is transitory, changing, growing, progressing. All else comes to pass as we continue on the spiraling pathway of our own God potential. The day will come when you may look back over your career. See that every happening played an important part in the unfolding pattern of your soul's growth. More than this, it will appear for all the world as if the path you traveled, even the one less traveled by, was the only possible way to reach the desired end. This does not evidence predestination. It's simply the result of a predisposition to grow through, instead of simply going through, the exigencies of life. Let's be still for just a minute. I do not resist change, but I adapt myself to the law of all things work together for good. I do not resist change, but I adapt myself to the law of all things work together for good. Perhaps you'd like to join me in saying that. I do not resist change, but I adapt myself to the law of all things work together for good. Now think about that for a minute. Change is everywhere. There's the old hymn saying, "That which changes not, abide with me." Give thanks that when you find the security of who you really are, the awareness of entombment with the divine flow within you, the conviction that your security is not in money or jobs or securities, even people, your security is in knowing who you are, keeping your contact with the divine flow within. Have faith that as you maintain this awareness of who you are, keep your inner center, you'll be unmoved and undisturbed by whatever the world may confront you with in terms of change. Make a conviction now, a covenant, that in your work, in all of your relationships with the marketplace and the world, that you'll every day of your life become established in the consciousness of your oneness with the divine flow, non-resistant to what may happen in the world around you, keeping centered in the world within you. And your relationship to the creativity of life will be completely secure. No matter what changes may take place in your work, in your finances, in your relationship with life out there, you'll feel an inner security that is fixed and eternal. Nothing can disturb the calm peace of your soul. You're free from fear, from anxiety, especially free to give expression to the greatness within you, your own God self. Let's feel grateful about this inner contact, this oneness, this wholeness. Feel good about it. Feel secure in it. For you shall know the truth, and truth will make you free. So be it.